This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.
This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And welcome to Sports Talk AM 870 on this Friday afternoon. I'm Larry Marasco, hosting again today with Matt Luttke, who joined us like he did on Wednesday. How you doing, Matt?
Oh, I'm just happy to be back.
Thanks for coming. And also Alex Sharg in the booth. He'll be chiming in here and there. I'm sure he's got a lot to say. We're going to get into a lot of topics today. First and foremost, we're going to get to the Lions. They had a nice surprise this morning. Maybe they knew last night, but we got a nice surprise this morning. Michigan State, they play Iowa tonight, and it's at 9 p.m. So
scary.
It's a late game. It's not something – remember, it's 10 o'clock for Michigan State, so because it's Central Time Zone. So it's a tough place to play. A tough time period to play, and Iowa, you know, gave him fits earlier in the season. So, that'll be something to talk about later on in the show. Also, Nebraska beat Purdue last night. I don't know if anyone saw that coming. We'll get into that possibly, or at least we'll all be shocked and awed and quiet as we think about what just happened. And I want to talk about some World Baseball Classic later on, not necessarily what's going on, just how it's just unnecessary. So, and how it just fools for watching it. That's just me. When really the players don't really care. So, if you want to give us a call, 355-9527, toll free 877-952-7870. Jeff Backus is not a Lion anymore. He wasn't traded. They didn't cut him. He has retired. So, let's look at this for a moment. Goster Chehrolis, gone. Jeff Backus, gone. As of now, the only offensive lineman the Lions have signed is Corey Hilliard, and it was their own free agent who didn't start to begin with. So, the Lions just got hit right in the mouth, and they have two tackles to replace. Theoretically, they need two starting tackles. They still need a cornerback, and they still, I don't know if we're going to count Jason Jones, but they still need a defensive end.
Right. But keep in mind, that's if they want to field a championship team.
They need to field a complete roster. It just seems like...
No. The thing is the Lions do have other guys. Riley Reiff, of course, a pick out of Purdue years ago. He's slated to start at tackle.
Iowa.
But then you've got Jason Fox, who also is returning on the team. Supposed to maybe start, get some playing time over at tackle too. They have some guys, but there isn't a leading candidate. There isn't a big swooping move that they've made.
I see it this way. They're fortunate where they're picking in this draft, because there are a lot of options.
Oh, yeah.
There are top linemen on both sides of the ball early in this draft, and there's a top cornerback. So they've got places to go. Now, the way it looks is, now they have to use that pick in one of the tackles.
Right.
You have to keep your most important player upright, and Stafford is not, you know, not the healthiest dude every year. So they need to get a tackle. And now, what I see happening is Kansas City and Jacksonville, mostly Kansas City, looking at the Lions and going, hey, someone's coming up and taking Jokel or Jackal, whatever his name is.
Luke. Let's just call him Luke. Luke J. Luke J. out of Texas A&M.
I am your Aggie. This is exactly what Kansas City wants. They have somebody that might pay a premium to come up and get their pick now, because Detroit might, it's a might, want to guarantee themselves the top tackle in the draft. And that's all speculation at this point.
Right.
And their second round pick, with all their defensive ends in this draft, I'm going to guess now is up in the air, because you still need another tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You need a defensive end. You still need a cornerback. Backus, not that he was the greatest left tackle in the league.
You can say that again. As someone who despised him for his 12 seasons, I mean... At the same time, though, he's been probably the most consistent Lion outside of Jason Hanson for the last decade.
Not Raiola?
Man, they're both equally disappointing. It changes week to week. But, I'm not sorry to see him go, but I'm certainly not happy at the prospect of an offensive line that is even more patchwork than it has been for Stafford's entire career.
If you don't give him time, Charles Johnson. Calvin Johnson does not get the football. If you don't give him time, Reggie Bush doesn't have time to get out of the backfield to catch the football. Pettigrew, this is now this has become a big problem.
Right. You can have as many weapons as you want, but you win and lose games in the trenches. And when you lose three of your five starting linemen in 4 days, kind of puts a damper on what you're trying to do up front.
A lot of work to be done in Detroit. There always is a lot of work to be done at Ford Field, but right now it seems, for a team that really isn't that far away, I know they were the fifth worst team in the league, they have this awful high pick,
right.
Awful because of why you had the high pick, but they have half the team. You know, you have an offense that can play football.
Right.
You need a defense.
It just feels like the holes that we've plugged in our secondary, we've used pieces that have now sprung holes in our offensive line. So it's just like pick your poison, basically. And I don't know if, I mean, neither of them are preferable, but I don't know.
And the inventor of the salary cap sleeps well at night because this is exactly what the NFL wants. 31 teams that are not whole.
Right.
And really, in all honesty, it's 32 teams that aren't whole, but one gets to win a title every year.
Right.
And claim supremacy. But yeah, everybody's got a hole in the NFL now, and it's happening. You know, it's happening in every sport that has a cap.
Right.
The NHL, there is no team that looks amazing.
Well, the Blackhawks maybe.
They had a good run.
They did have a great.
Doesn't
run.
Mean they're going to go through the playoffs and tear it up.
By no means.
I mean, I think Boston's still the team to beat. To be honest with you, they're huge and they're talented. But the point being is, they create these situations where there is no team that can just destroy everybody.
Right.
It's all about matchups now in every sport, with the exception of baseball. It's still, you know.
Right.
Buy whatever you want. Let's be honest.
It's an arms race.
Yeah. There's no question there. So, and it kind of takes away from things. It really does.
I mean, it does and it doesn't, because, you know, you try and have it so that every city has something to be excited about. You know, right now, this time of year, everybody's kind of thinking, well, maybe we have a shot, except for us, apparently, as Lions fans, because we've been beaten down for so long. But
you've got the quarterback. You have the quarterback, and you still can't do it right.
Exactly.
He's not top five, don't get me wrong, but you can win with Stafford, even with his left hand.
You can win with Stafford and Calvin, that's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, you can definitely do that. And they still, you know, it seems like you have forever. Don't get me wrong, Stafford's not that old.
You also bring up another good point, because you say he's not top five. Well, when the Lions drafted Stafford years ago, they thought this guy was the king of all swats. They thought this guy was going to be a future Hall of Fame quarterback. And there comes a point, when do you wait? How long do you wait for this guy to mature into a top five quarterback?
Well, now things are going to change now, because all the numbers are so skewed, because all they do is throw the ball.
Right.
That I don't know what a Hall of Fame quarterback's going to be. He's got to win at least a Super Bowl or two. And I don't care what anyone says, that's not always on the quarterback. If your defense is going to let up 50 points a game, what quarterback is winning you that football game every
Right.
week?
And like we said, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. So, I mean, you know.
Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. That's right. You heard me. So
Rex Grossman competed in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that wouldn't have taken much. If they knock out Manning in that game early, Rex Grossman might have won a Super Bowl.
Well, keep giving the ball to Devin Hester in that game, too. But,
so, phone lines are open at 355-9527 here at AM 870 Sports Talk. Toll free at 877-952-7870. So I want to know what you guys think. When we go into the draft, let's say nothing's changed. We know they're going to sign somebody before the draft.
Right.
I'm guessing they're going to sign at least one tackle. So let's right. say you go into the draft with the whole of no elite defensive end coming in here, even though there's a few on the market with Freeney and Abraham. Well, elite over the
right.
hill.
In reputation.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So let's say you go into the draft and you have two picks. Your number five pick and your pick in the second round. And you have three holes. Three big holes. I think a cornerback, a defensive end, and an offensive tackle. Probably a left tackle.
Right.
Where do you go with the first pick if it was up to you? And then we don't know what's going to be on the board in the second pick, but hypothetically, what are you planning on going with? Go ahead, Matt, you first.
All right. Well, I think you need to pair either a top five pick. You take Milner out of Alabama, take the corner, and then sign a Freeney for a cheap deal. He's trying to prove himself. I would say you sign a veteran at defensive end and a stud corner, because they do not come around very often. And I think in the second round you can make a run at a lineman, God knows Alabama had enough in the draft that one of them will be around in the second round.
I can't remember his name, and I'll look it up when Alex speaks, but Alabama had the one offensive lineman that played like three positions in his college career, and he's not one of the first round draft picks that are on the board.
Exactly.
You know, I can't think of his name. He's not Fluker, and he's not, what is his name, Womack?
Barrett Jones? Was it Barrett Jones?
Is that what it is? And he's not a first round prospect anywhere that I've seen so far. So maybe somewhere later in the draft, someone will get fortunate and pick him up. But he's got to be able to play.
Right.
He's got to be able to play. He's played everywhere, and he's played an elite level at Alabama. Alex, your thought on where Detroit should go with the first and second round pick if they only sign one other tackle, so they have a tackle, a defensive back, and a
Sure. Now, when Millen left, the Lions were notorious for drafting the best player on the board. We saw with Calvin Johnson, they didn't necessarily need a top-flight receiver. He was the best player on the board. Now, if you go back to Stafford, was Stafford the best player on the board? He may have had the most potential, but was he the best player? I don't know. But that was a different situation because the Lions started and needed a starting base off a quarterback. Now, you talk about this draft. The best player on the board with the number 5 pick, if you look at the mock draft, is D. Milner. There's no question about it. If you look at other guys a little bit ahead of D. Milner, you have Lane Johnson out of Oklahoma. That's an offensive tackle they could draft. He's slated a little bit lower. But then you go against Eric Fisher. Do you want Eric Fisher out of an MAC school? Or are you going to get someone out of a Big 12 school? Are you going to get a guy in Lane Johnson who's had that experience, who's consistently played against a Texas and an Oklahoma State, who can compete in the NFL level? Now, sure, the upside on Eric Fisher is great. It's still to be proven if he can really contribute besides MAC schools. Now, if the Lions do take D. Milner, now you have the defensive end, you have an offensive tackle to fill. You look at the later rounds, Lions, obviously, if they like the best players on the board, Vinny Curry out of Marshall, a lot of upside out of him. I've been scouting him a little bit, but I don't know. I don't think that the Lions are going to come through with these three positions filled. I don't know if you guys agree, but I think one of the three positions won't be filled.
I actually think they'll all be addressed in the draft at some point in time, but you can't expect one of them to be starting unless he's the first or second round pick. You know, as far as going, I'm drafting this guy.
So that means it's not filled though. Because
No, but there's plenty of time between now and July to take care of business. And there's always something going on in June. I don't know how the schedule works out, but for some reason people are cut June 1st in the NFL. I don't know if that's changed with the new rules, but it happens. Why? I'm not sure.
Right.
But I'm under the opinion now. I was in the D. Milner camp. I mean, strictly D. Milner.
Right.
But without taking care of that line, you have two useless sides of the football. And I, with top 5 pick, I'm hoping that Fisher or Jokel, I'll never get his name right. I'm hoping that the Aggie or Fisher are there if I'm a Lion GM, because that's, I mean, your bread and butter is the offense.
Right. And I mean, you've invested so much money in Stafford. It kind of makes financial sense to go after a tackle there just to protect him. But I cannot think the last time the Lions had a corner who had this much respect coming into the league. And really, the last time the Lions had a corner who was capable of shutting down a side of the field, like we were talking about Wednesday, that is such a huge advantage for a defense. It's basically like, it's not basically like, because nobody's Calvin, but having that kind of impact on the defensive side of the ball makes things so much simpler for everybody else, that if we go out and got a middle of the road defensive end, pair him up with the guys that we already have on the defensive front, maybe we'll be all right.
No, it obviously, when you cut the field smaller and make 10 people only have to cover it on a smaller field, it's much easier.
Right.
Look at the Jets when Revis is playing. Wait a minute. Hold on. Doesn't matter, actually. Jets aren't that good. Look what the Jets. Think about what the Jets should be when
the
Revis
Jets are
is playing.
A bad example. For
Unfortunately,
any of that,
right now, right now they are. two years ago, they were okay, especially on that side of the football. Phone lines are open here on Sports Talk AM 870-355-9527. Toll free at 877-952-7870. Last piece about the Lions before we get our first break. I'm looking at the teams ahead of the Lions in the draft, okay? And you have Jacksonville. A lot of holes.
More holes than space is filled.
The Raiders, who keep creating their own holes by getting rid of first-round picks that didn't live up to expectations, so they have a ton of holes.
I'm waiting for them to draft Tavon Austin because he ran a fast 40, and that seems like the Raiders' MO.
Al Davis is gone.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Al Davis is gone.
Maybe it was his dying wish.
I think, honestly, Tavon Austin, I believe, is going to Minnesota with one of their two picks now to take care of Percy Harvin. That's the only we spoke a couple of days ago. I think it was either me and you or me and Alex, and I was like, how do you replace Percy Harvin? Well, I think what they're going to do is they're going to draft Tavon Austin if he's there, and that's going to be their, hey, we got another
speedster.
And we got a seventh round and mid-round pick. So, hey, look at us. You know, wow.
We won the deal.
And we didn't pay for him. He's just a first-round pick and a few million dollars a year. And then the third team is Philly. New coaching staff. You don't know exactly where they're going to go. The whole system's different. And then other than that, first pick overall is Kansas City. And they're not that bad of a team.
No.
They have a lot of good pieces.
They had six Pro Bowlers last year.
They just have to be molded properly. And Andy Reid, I think, will be able to do that. Alex Smith doesn't make that many mistakes, at least at this point in his career.
Right.
He needs to be a game manager. They have some receiving threats. They don't have that awful of a defense. They just got to put it all. You know, they just need someone to shape it and actually have a quarterback that can stay upright and get the ball where it needs to be.
Right, and they just signed Sean Smith out of Miami. And I mean, pairing him with Eric Berry in the defensive backfield, like that could be a team that improves by leaps and bounds in 1 year,
as long as everybody's healthy.
Exactly.
Everything's always healthy. Yeah,
exactly. Because gosh, no, they had terrible luck with injuries too.
And Reed has to. There's one thing Andy Reed doesn't do well, or
clock manage.
I wasn't even going there, but he doesn't trust. Because his teams normally aren't that bad at running the football.
No.
He just doesn't like to run the football.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. They need to diversify a little bit from what he's been doing in Philadelphia to succeed, in my opinion. And like I said, everybody above the Lions have a lot of holes. And I think that the first pick overall is the one that they have some leeway. They could go best player on the board and trade down and not worry about it.
Right.
Everybody else has so many holes that they got to fill one of them because, no offense, the two picks that Minnesota has and the two picks that St. Louis have, I don't think will equal the value they're going to get from that top five pick.
Right.
So the Lions, it's a crapshoot above them. I really feel that. But they can have three guys fall to them and be okay, the two tackles and the defensive back. So hopefully, for their sake, somebody wants some defensive linemen ahead of them. And that's quite possible. But enough NFL talk for now. We're going to take a break. We come back. We're going to talk about the Big Ten tournament. Matt thinks Nebraska's going to run the gamut. They're going to win the title, go to the tournament. He's going to have to defend that in about 60 seconds. We'll be right back here on Sports Talk AM 870.
Are you a cyberchondriac? I'm Ira Flatow. On Science Friday, we'll be talking about finding health information on the web and what doctors are learning from your search, plus how even a single concussion may cause brain damage, and could your fat help treat brain cancer? It's all on Science Friday from NPR.
We're back here on Sports Talk AM 870. I'm Larry Marasco with Matt Luedtke and Alex Scharg. We've been talking about the Lions. If you want to talk about them, give us a call, 355-9527, or toll free at 877-952-7870. But right now, we're moving on to the Big Ten tournament. And yesterday was fun. Iowa put away Northwestern. Illinois had a great finish against Minnesota. Well, I wonder if that's going to do anything to Minnesota's bracket dreams. From what I understand, it doesn't. Everyone expects Minnesota to go into the tournament, but 8-10, you lose in the first round. In the Big Ten, it's tough.
They are 7-11 since January 1st. That
going in hot.
To me, that says you are not an NCAA tournament team. I know they played in the toughest conference in America, but this is like the third consecutive year that I feel like they just collapse after the new year. And it's getting old, and I'm sure Minnesota fans agree.
Like, Tubby Smith is not someone that's going to win a national championship unless he's at Kentucky.
Exactly. I mean, you know, they typically, obviously, since they have so much early season success, maybe they'll have more success out of conference and maybe beat a team or two in the tournament. But if they get that 8-9 seed where they were slated, I think they're just going to be a sacrificial lamb in the second round at best.
See, now, I would agree with you on most of those points except for one.
Uh-oh.
If they're an 8-9 and they get Gonzaga.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I'm not knocking Gonzaga. I'm actually saying this. I'm sorry, Mr. Couch. I'm saying this for Graham Couch.
Okay.
Because he convinced me 3 nights ago at a local establishment that if Gonzaga played a Big Ten team, for the most part, Gonzaga is going to lose. And I don't know if Minnesota was the Big Ten team he was
referring to,
but I'm going to give, if it happens, we're giving him the credit. So Minnesota is an 8-9, and they get to play Gonzaga in the second round. I don't care where, and it's going to be on the West Coast.
Right.
Minnesota has a chance to go to the Sweet 16. That's what I see. I think everybody has a chance this year because it's that
right. It's that wide open.
It is, but that matchup, that one matchup, is something Minnesota might look at, or at least the world might look at and go, you know, Minnesota has a chance.
Right.
So, but then after that game yesterday, Nebraska putting on a show. I don't know how they beat Purdue.
Well, Purdue might be in trouble. Especially if their 7-footer Hammonds decides to leave after this year, it might be a long couple of years for Matt Painter. He might be regretting not taking that Missouri job the other year. Because as much as it might have been worth it to stay for Robbie Hummel's 19th year of eligibility, now that he's gone, I don't know. They're young again, but man, they got an uphill road in the next couple of years.
See, Painter's a good coach.
I think so too.
Painter's a really good coach. Unfortunately, he's the third fiddle in the state.
Exactly.
And now that Indiana's where they are, and Notre Dame's going to be going to the ACC, so they're going to be able to be on national TV against North Carolina every year and Duke every year, which wasn't much different than the Big East. But let's be honest, the Q rating of North Carolina and Duke is bigger than everything in the Big East, and UConn might at one point have had a shot at that, but not anymore. No offense to Kevin Ollie. And his group of Huskies that won't be playing in the tournament for 2 years. But, no, I like what Painter did at staying with Purdue. It doesn't happen enough. What's going to be unfortunate is if he has 3 or 4 bad years and they get rid of him. And his, I don't want to say loyalty because they pay him for that loyalty.
Right.
But him staying at Purdue won't mean anything at that point. But, again, this is a tough loss. Purdue, in my opinion, Purdue could have made a little bit of a run. No one talked about other teams making runs. You know, it was Iowa, and then you talked about Minnesota and Illinois. Purdue was just kind of there.
Right.
No one expected them to go anywhere. But they were a dangerous team, and they're gone. I don't see Nebraska getting past Ohio State.
Yeah, you know, despite your claims earlier, I don't think so either.
Now, Ohio State came into the tournament hot. I think they are the team to beat in the tournament because of how they came into the tournament. And how they beat everybody before the tournament at some point in time. But that being said, you can't underestimate an upstart.
Oh, no. And I mean, sometimes teams benefit from playing that first day. Today is the day where fatigue doesn't quite set in yet for those teams that played the Thursday games. I feel like that usually doesn't catch up to them until Saturday, but this is the game where maybe playing yesterday helps you. You get off to a little bit of a hot start, and maybe Ohio State's in for a game.
Yeah,
might be the same thing with Iowa tonight.
And even that being said, I by accident, and it was a good accident, I fell into the 2008 SEC tournament story last night on ESPN. You know what I'm talking about? Tornado blew apart the Georgia Dome.
Oh, that's
so,
right.
So they had to reschedule everything at Georgia Tech's arena on Bobby Kremen's court. And University of Georgia won 3 games in 2 days.
Yep.
They were an awful team to begin with like 4 wins on the season, I believe, in conference.
Right. They were below 500,
yeah,
though, I think.
And they won the tournament playing 3 games in 2 days. I mean, just incredible. And you see that and playing 3 days in a row, 1 game a day, no big deal.
Right.
It's all about timing. Tonight, Michigan State, Iowa. Michigan State has to come to play.
Absolutely.
They had an issue early in the season where they let it stay too close for too long. it was in Iowa, and they found a way in the end to squeak it out.
Yeah. At the same time, that's what happened with Northwestern too.
Are we talking in Northwestern?
Well, you know, they hosted them at Breslin Center.
Well, I think that's a different story.
How is that different?
Well, because they couldn't win the Big Ten tournament at halftime. Knicks found out before that, and then they found out they couldn't win the Big Ten tournament, Big Ten championship. And then they came out in the second half, they dogged it, no question about it. And then 5 minutes left, it's tied at 53 or 51.
Right.
And they're like, okay, it's time to play defense.
Right, but the players aren't going to go out and say the reason we weren't on our game in the second half was because we found out we didn't win the tournament. And they said that Izzo would have a dogout.
But that is what happened. There's no question. And Nick said that they said they were disappointed afterwards.
Right.
You know, they couldn't do it. And then Izzo had his, you know, I'm not a backdoor kind of
coach. Right, I don't need any help. Yeah.
I mean, amazing that people haven't done more with that quote.
Sure, but sure. The signs all hint, we can laugh it off, that that was the reason. It's because they found out they couldn't win the championship. Now, this at the same time, if you look at this Iowa team and then you look at this Northwestern team, very similar with perimeter threats. They both can shoot the ball from outside. Michigan State's probably weakest link, besides for the fact that we have a great defender in Keith Appling. Michigan State's Gary Harris, of course, a great defender. Is the fact that they leave them open threes. It's haunted them all year. Now, if I'm looking at this Iowa game, and this is a team that's probably hungrier than Northwestern because they actually have a legitimate shot of making the big dance, is that Michigan State's Tom Izzo said his guys will be ready. He says, our guys will bleep off they're ready to play. And looking at this team, I mean, it's a 9 o'clock game. Michigan State really hasn't played a game this late all year. I just don't feel that it's in their favor to win this game. I would say that actually, if ignoring the Tom Izzo quote, that they're probably about 50-50 in winning. I mean, I want to hear from you guys.
I think Iowa's more motivated because they have more to gain
with
the victory. There's no question. Do I think they will win? I still think it's an upset by far. If Michigan State loses this game tonight, and would be extremely disappointed if you don't get to the semifinals and find your way, you know, losing to an Ohio State is one thing.
Right.
Losing to Iowa tonight is another.
I mean, and the game earlier this year, they won by 3, but I feel like every time they go to Carver-Hawkeye, it is a battle. It is a house of horrors for MSU. I think they lost the game, the like 43-38 game a few years ago there. But at the same time, Iowa has a lot of success beating us in the Big Ten tournament. I feel like I don't want to have Alan Anderson at the free throw line flashbacks. I don't want to have Adam Haluska bouncing through my brain. I just feel like I don't know if this Iowa team is quite that talented, but they're certainly desperate. Roy Devon Marble didn't play in the game that we played at Iowa. He's playing tonight. He's scored like 18 in the last few games, like 6 out of 10 or something. So he's rolling. I mean, they have weapons. They've got Basabi inside, who I feel like every time we play them, he doubles his season average. So there's a lot to worry about. And then they also have McCabe off the bench shooting threes. They've got just random guys who always contribute against us. I do not like playing Iowa tonight, but I still think we're better.
On the road, they always give Michigan State fits. It's
every
just
year,
the way it is.
Even when they're terrible.
And one of the things Alex pointed out is, you know, I honestly think with ball movement, with good ball movement, everybody leaves three pointers open.
Right.
I think it's the easiest open shot you can get because you don't have to make very many risky passes to make that happen. You know, it's on the outside, you get something on the inside, you get some rotation happening, and there's a guy on the other side of the court that's open. You just got to get the ball to him.
Right.
So my issue is when you leave trailing three-pointers, you know, guys that you're not finding on the court as you come back in transition from offense to defense. Those are the three-pointers that I can't stand to left open. But when a team has good rotation and good ball movement, there's always going to be a guy open somewhere in the three-point line. You just got to find it. We're going to the phones. Kirk, you're on the line. How you doing today?
Not too bad.
I
just got done hearing you guys talk about how Iowa plays them tough in the Big Ten tournament and all these different things. And the other thing that you guys haven't really touched on is that Michigan State really struggles down there at the United Center playing in Chicago. Well, playing in Chicago, period, because Northwestern is giving them fits down in Chicago. But in terms of the Big Ten tournament, I can remember Izzo saying how he hated playing at the United Center, the baskets were a lot tighter than what they're used to or something. He wasn't sure what the problem was, but we always shot terrible in Chicago. So don't let that go by the wayside either.
No, it's something that Izzo was never a big fan of the Big Ten tournament. It was never something that they put much weight
right
on until last year. Last year was a big deal. They went in wanting to win something they couldn't win in the regular season.
Right. And
I would agree with them. The regular season title says a lot more than, you know, having a good weekend. Next weekend is what's more important, because you're not remembered for Big Ten titles. You're remembered for national titles.
Exactly. So, and that's the thing. Like, either way, you know, win or lose, the season still goes on. And really, the only thing anybody cares about is the NCAA tournament. So for all the failures we've had in the Big Ten tournament and Chicago, yeah, you're right. It has been another house of horrors for us, but I wouldn't be jumping off a cliff if they lost tonight. That's all I'll say. I really don't think it matters that much. Either way, we still have a chance to avenge it. And last year with the Big Ten tournament, it was all about, you know, since we lost on the last day of the season for a chance to win that title, let's go out, prove ourselves, win again. This year, yeah, they lost, and technically it was on the last day, but it wasn't really their doing. So I don't know if there's that much of a stress on it. And last year, seeing us getting run over by that Louisville buzzsaw, I just feel like there should be more focus on the NCAA tournament, a little less emphasis on the Big Ten tournament.
Kirk,
the one other thing about the game tonight is, I don't know if you guys watched the Iowa-Northwestern game last night when Aaron White got hurt, where Marco Tulio put a nice arm bar on him and threw him to the ground kind of thing. But I watched at the end of that game when they were doing the inline handshakes and stuff, and Aaron White was shaking people's hands with his left hand because his right arm was still hurting him. So that could be a factor in tonight's game. So, well, listen, you guys, thanks a lot. Bye.
Thanks, Kirk. Appreciate the call. So something to look for tonight.
Hey, and that's a good point. I mean, with the quick turnaround of, you know, two games in 2 days, not a lot of time to heal.
I honestly didn't see the last few minutes of the game, so I did not, and I very rarely will watch the shaking of the hand.
Right.
The Tom Crean thing from Sunday, I actually found that out from watching replays because I was at the Michigan State game.
Right.
So it wasn't like I was seeing that live.
Now, speaking of replays, did any of you, we are in Big Ten tournament, but have any of you guys seen some of the other games going around on tournament actions right now?
Don't tell me about the Charlotte game.
Oh, my goodness. Exactly the Charlotte game. I mean, I can't remember within the last decade of a team being down by three within 5 seconds to go and getting 10 straight free throws to win the game within 2 seconds.
Yeah, no, ridiculous. And I have refused to watch the video. I know what happened.
It's bad.
But I know when they say they called him for a shooting foul when they tried to shoot, you know, they gave him two shots, I believe, or three shots on a shooting foul that was supposed to just be a foul in a non-shooting foul. I know how upset I was, even though I have no interest in Charlotte.
Hey, they could be a tournament. They could be a tournament breaker.
I'm just saying I had no interest. No, no, no.
Did you have interest in George Mason?
I mean,
probably not.
I mean, personal interest in watching that game. Okay. I don't care who won. That's the point I'm making. It doesn't bother me that Charlotte won the game, but I'm a big. Here's my issue: until refs have to answer to us, I don't care. See, the refs, they'll never put them up front and center to say, look, I made a mistake. This is what I did. This is why I did it. You know, even that, the NCAA came out with some rules to discuss some of the calls, but not the ones that we all want to talk about.
Right.
It was about the first one, I believe, and why they got the ball, the shot, the technical, all just a big mess. But like, you know, someone like Jim Joyce, you know, when he came out and I mean, obviously emotional when he screwed up Armando Galarraga's perfect game.
Yep.
See, I'll support him in anything he ever does again, Jim Joyce, okay?
Yeah, just a little transparency. That's all we're asking.
Absolutely. You come up to me and tell me why this ref was this dumb. And I'm not talking about this particular situation, but in others, okay? As a hockey fan, every 10 minutes there's a mistake made on the ice. I'm sorry. There is. And I mean of game time. I don't mean of elapsed, you know.
Right.
Greenwich Standard Time. But no, until I can't allow myself to get really crazy about this stuff unless it's about something that, that gets me emotionally, because you're never going to get the right answer. You're not going to get any answer, really, on any level. Even with the NHL, when they have Brendan Shanahan tell you why he suspended this guy for three games, there is no consistency whatsoever.
Right.
And until they let us know what they do to these refs behind closed doors, or let us into the meetings or the letters, or just something publicly, then you know, we'll never know. And the integrity of the game will always be hurt for it, in my opinion. Especially now, when you can see every mistake in HD
over and over and over again
on any computer, yep, on any phone. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Phone which line, furthers instant replay, though?
Depends on which sport, but yes, I have no issue with some type of flexing instant replay in most sports where there's a ref in the crowd. I'm really not against that, especially baseball. Baseball, where it doesn't slow down the game at all, where the guy can look at the replay three times at almost every call and tell you within 30 seconds.
Right.
Most pitchers take 30 seconds, okay? So I would have no issue with a fifth umpire, which in this case, you'd only need one on the field. Just be the one of, oh, he says the guy at second was out. They could save a lot of money in Major League Baseball if they just did that. They had the guy calling balls and strikes and a guy upstairs telling you if you're out or safe at first or
right
on putouts. Don't kid yourselves.
Call Bud Selig.
That's the way, you know, it's going to get there someday. Phone lines are open at 355-9527. Toll free at 877-952-7870. Matt, who wins the Big Ten tournament?
Well, might be Indiana, now that I've seen that they're handling Illinois at the half today.
They're up 8 with 7 and a half left.
Oh, man, they're up 8. Look at Illinois. They're not done yet. I still think it's got to be Indiana or Ohio State.
Yeah, I'm in the Ohio State camp. I really think they're the team to beat, so I can't really, you know, I can't say they're the team to beat and then say they're not going to win the tournament. So
right.
I'm expecting Ohio State. Well, we're going to take one last break here on Sports Talk AM 870. When we get back, we will talk about the World Baseball Classic and the sham it is.
On the Knicks Fresh Air, Paul Thomas Anderson talks about writing and directing the film The Master, which just came out on DVD. Set in the years after World War II, it stars Philip Seymour Hoffman as the leader of a cult group and Joaquin Phoenix as a troubled World War II vet who makes his way into the group. Join us.
That was Fresh Air, coming up today at 3 p.m. right here on AM 870. I'm Larry Marasco, joined with Matt Ludkin and Alex Sharg, discussing sports today here on Sports Talk AM 870. Phone lines are open at 355-9527 or toll free at 877-952-7870. You'd think I'd have that memorized by day five. Not so much. It's sad. So right now, baseball is being played. It's being played in Florida. It's being played in Arizona. And wherever the heck the WBC is playing right now, they're playing there. Eventually, I think they're going to San Francisco for the semis and the finals. But let's talk about this World Baseball Classic for a second. Now, going to other sports, they have big international tournaments that are big deals.
Right.
Okay? Basketball has their national title, their international title every year, the FIBA World Champions, which do we really care about in the States? We just don't want to be considered.
We care about if we lose.
That's it. That's the problem with that. We only care if we're second.
Right.
So that's it. It's really not anything we find amusing. It's more scary. It's just a matter of we have to keep our ego up, keep it high. We have to own basketball because it's our game. Supposedly.
We're number one.
So baseball, our game. We'll get to that. Let's get to everything else for a second. Soccer, great. I mean, greatest tournament in the world is the World Cup. I don't think so. But the greatest tournament in the world is the World
Cup.
Most popular. Yeah, and everybody cares. You know, I get it. And everything else wants to be the World Cup, okay? The only other sport internationally that I think at the highest level, oh, rugby's pretty good, but not a rugby guy.
Right.
Of American sports is when hockey gets together. Because you never see teams that have 20 all-stars on them.
Right.
It's hockey in its purest form. And that's great when the Olympics come around or what used to be the Canada Cup or the World Cup of hockey. That I get. And the players are involved and they love it. This baseball thing is nothing like those. It's especially on the American side. Every other country really cares, I'm sure. Every baseball nation cares. But us, for us, it's just about money.
Right.
Really, I mean...
It's money and injury risk.
Our teams don't send their best players because they don't want to be concerned about it. Especially for the... See, here's the fun part. If Robinson Cano was American, he wouldn't be playing for the American team.
Absolutely not.
But because he's on the Dominican Republic, in his contract year, he wants to do it. He's got to do it. You know, it puts the Americans don't get to put a quality team out there because really we don't care. We'd rather see the Tigers win the World Series.
Absolutely.
Than the Americans win the World Baseball Classic. And saying that, we're the ones that put it together. All I'm saying is the fans don't want it. There's money to be made, which is the only reason it's happening.
Right.
It's like the NCAA. The only reason the NCAA is happening is because there's money to be made.
It's the root of everything.
But that's my point. The World Baseball Classic is, I won't watch it. I haven't turned on a game. I mistakenly saw something one day, said, who's playing baseball? Thinking of spring training.
Right.
And I saw the Netherlands orange jerseys. It's like, I like it. That's a risk you're taking, right? That is a fashion risk. And I even saw Italia for a second play, throw a pitch or two. Yes, Italy playing baseball, and they won a couple of games. It's getting bad, but that's the point. I just don't see why we, as the American public, should support this endeavor when they don't put our team or our best foot forward. If we're not going to take it seriously, because we really don't care. Let's be honest.
I mean, and really, America in general. If it's not like the best, highest quality, we don't care. MLS, why is that struggling so much? Because Europe has the better leagues. And people, for the most part, I mean, it's catching on a little bit here and there, but it's way behind all the other sports. I
wouldn't say MLS is struggling because they're growing. You can't compare it to baseball or any of that. You can't do that right now.
Okay.
But if you go see a game, I mean, I haven't been there. You watch a game in Seattle or Portland, I'm sorry. That looks more fun than anything going on anywhere else in this country. Want to know why? Because they don't have to be up 3-0 to be excited.
Right.
Okay? See, our problem with sports today is you go to a game, you almost have to, you want to be entertained. It's not about you being, just being there. You watch some other, you watch the Winnipeg Jets, you watch that fan, they're crazy from the moment before the puck drops.
Right.
It's great. We don't have that passion anymore. I mean, we go to a game, first of all, it costs what it costs to go to a game. So if you go and your team is shut out, you're sitting there like, why did I just spend $300 for me and my family to go to a game? But we just don't have that passion anymore for all of our sports. It's not the same. And with the World Baseball Classic, you are putting at risk my summer. My summer is at Robinson Cano. I'm a Yankees fan, okay? The Yankees look awful right now in their lineup, okay? Their pitching's fine. No issue there. But if somehow you lose Robinson Cano before this season, which could be his last season as a Yankee, season's over.
Right.
The Yankees have lost all their home runs going into this season. I mean, they're the Bronx Bunters moving into April. It's an issue. And if you're not going to put our best team out there, America's best team, then why are you putting other people out there at risk just for your pockets?
Right.
That's a problem for me. We either go all in or all out, and I think America doesn't care, and we put this on and put our players at risk for their countries.
Right.
Which I get they might want to do, but America doesn't want to do for theirs, so bring them back, put them in their professional uniform, and get on with it,
because
a World Series title will always be more important.
Oh yeah, it'll trump it by 1,000%.
In this country, I don't care if Japan loves their title or Korea. I don't care. It means nothing to me. Without Major League Baseball, that wouldn't happen anyways.
Right.
So let's find what's more important here. What's important is the fact that the Tigers field a healthy team in April, and that they don't wear out any of them wear out at the end by the end of the season, and opening up spring training 2 weeks early, having them play competitive baseball that isn't grapefruit or cactus league
right.
for a month, is ridiculous.
And the timing of it is just so odd. Right before, I mean, why would you put them in that situation where they are playing competitive baseball, but not for the teams that are paying them all this money? I mean, I just feel like if I was an owner, I would not want my players in it at all. I would not any of them.
If you're going to let every, if you're going to send the best players from America, and you're going to do it in a place where they're not going to have as much of a risk of an injury, which would be July,
exactly,
then I'd be okay with it. But they make too much money already to take that risk of stopping baseball for 2 weeks and people forgetting they were going to baseball games for three. Seriously,
right?
You know, you get a league like the NHL that has no choice. I don't care what they say. They have to send their players to the Olympics because the only time some people are ever going to watch a hockey game. Okay? It's just the way it is, and they're going to see the best example of it.
It is awesome hockey.
It's
I love Olympic hockey.
There is nothing better. And the reason is there's only like five countries that really can field a professional national hockey team. Not National Hockey League team.
Right.
Like a national hockey team. Like a U.S. Okay?
Right.
And those five countries have all the players. They have all of them.
Right.
I mean, it's not like soccer where they're spread out around the world because all you need is a ball to learn, you know, to start out playing soccer.
Hockey takes a little bit more of an investment.
Yeah. You can't just go in your backyard unless you're in Canada and lay down some ice and go play a game. It's an issue for baseball. I'm sorry. It's an issue for hockey that they can't get over. They need those 2 weeks, and hopefully they're not stupid, and next year in Sochi they don't play.
Right.
But they need those 2 weeks for marketing purposes. You know, the crazy fans come back. The big sports, they live off the casual fan.
Right.
Hockey don't have many of those.
No.
Hockey has, you know, the weirdos like me. I mean, that's just the way it is. So that's why baseball won't stop at midseason. Because they don't want to, you know, they don't want you to stop that marathon.
Right.
You know, it's tough to start up again after you stop. But I just can't stand. If you're not going to send your best players, then
what's the point of doing
it at
all?
Yep. There's no point for Americans to pay attention to a game that doesn't give us the best chance to win and isn't the most important thing on our agenda and our baseball agenda.
Right. I mean, the only time I've paid attention to the World Baseball Classic is because Mexico and Canada had that huge brawl the other day. That's the first time I've looked into it. That's the first time I've cared about a score or that even they were playing in general. I mean, that's...
And the only curiosity I had was Chin-Ming Wong was pitching for Taiwan a week ago and pitched a really good game.
Right.
You know, a guy that was, you know, on his way to being a very good pitcher and then got hurt, and he's had some tough times as of late. Darvish pitching in years past. But, you know, when you hear a big name that you don't see every day on television, but that's just, you know, it's a spectacle.
That's passing interest, too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you just want to see something, you know, like if Hideki Matsui, before he became an American, you know, became a Yankee or Suzuki Ichiro, when they were big names internationally, if they were going to play in the WBC, you'd want to see it. But that's not worth what we're talking about here.
Exactly.
If I really wanted to do that, I could find a way to watch Japanese baseball online. I'm sure there is.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
I haven't done it yet. Andrew Jones being over there hasn't really piqued my interest, though, wherever he is this year. If it's Korea or Japan, I'm not sure. Phone lines are open at 355-9527. Toll free at 877-952-7870. I'm Larry Marasco, joined by Matt Lutke and Alex Shog. Alex, what do you think about the WBC?
Yeah, taking it in. Well, the thing about the WBC that always puzzles me is the fact that teams, MLB teams, are letting their players come out in these games, throw high cheese pitchers, and we've seen it time and time again with injuries. I mean, this isn't a thing where it's an all-star game. Guys are taking it easy. It's a little bit of fun, like we see in the NBA. You're committing yourself, you know, to playing well and 100%, and you're risking the fact that you may hinder your career if something happens.
And you're not giving your fans a chance to win because the Americans aren't seeing the best Americans. That's what I don't get. You're putting all these guys at risk, and the people who are going to get hurt are your fan base when they see that your team isn't the best team you can put on the field for 162 games.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You're going to say, oh, Japan, screw you, because if it wasn't for you, we'd still have... I mean, this guy's name thrown on my team.
I get that, but my point is just we're supposed to be interested You're not giving us the best chance to win. That's one. Two, you're doing that, and you're taking away our best players that aren't American from our teams, and taking away some chances that your Tigers, my Yankees, their chances to win. That's the biggest issue. If we're going to go full bore, go full bore.
Right.
Let the best. I want to see, well, let's say Roy Halladay's not having a good time right now, but let's say 2 years ago at that WBC, I want to see Roy Halladay blow away 9 innings. I want to see Verlander soup the nuts, 9 innings, take out whoever he's playing, because no offense, they haven't seen Justin Verlander.
No.
You know what I'm saying? They haven't seen these guys.
Right.
Destroy them. But we can't do that. We don't give ourselves an opportunity that you pitch 3 innings, you pitch 4 innings, somebody else comes in. R.A. Dickey's the ace.
Yeah, that should be all you really need to know about the WBC.
That's scary. So I'm glad we're all on the same page in this. I didn't know where we'd be. We hadn't discussed this one before.
I think you might have to search for a while before you find a real supporter of the World Baseball Classic. It might take you a few weeks. But
I'll see if I can call Bud Selig. I have his number somewhere.
There you go.
I'm sure I can get his email address. Indiana's up 13 on Illinois with 3.5 left. So looks like Illinois' run's going to be over shortly.
It's a shame. It's a real shame. I like Illinois. I like their coach. He looks a lot like Mr. Clean. I like Brandon Paul and DJ Richardson. Those are two guys that could do some damage in the tournament. Who knows?
You bring up Illinois. I like Gross. He should be called Grochi.
Right.
Just saying.
Yeah, that's how I read
it,
too.
But the other thing about that is, where I don't feel bad for them is I liked Bruce Weber.
Yeah.
He was a good guy. I'm not an Illinois fan, so I didn't have any frustrations with him. But I'm just happy to see that Kansas State had a good year.
Yeah, they had a great year.
And is going to hopefully have a really good tournament just to make Illinois look a little bad.
Right.
Not that I don't dislike Gross. I don't wish him poor results.
Right.
I thought Bruce Weber was
a good guy. Yeah,
and
exactly.
And when you have other coaches in the Big Ten going to bat for him in public, like Izzo did last year at the tournament and stuff, that says all you need to know. Go K-State next week.
Hey, I'm right there with you.
There you go.
I'm on the bandwagon.
Matt, thank you very much for coming in today and Wednesday.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. Matt was a rookie at this, and he's held his own, and I appreciate everything for the last the 2 days you helped out. Alex, you were with me for 3 days.
Yeah, fortunate. Where's my contract raise?
For me? Talk to the guy behind you.
Let's talk to the salary cap or the free agency. Let's talk to Martin Mayhew, who's been so kind to spend money on 4 different players so far.
I'm telling you, they're going. Lions going to go tackle. At this point, they have to. I think Lions are going to find a way to go tackle in the top 5.
It seems to be the writing on the wall signings.
Not that I know anything about what he's doing, what Mayhew's doing, but I can't see it going anywhere else. Cornerback, much as you love it, he's not keeping Stafford healthy. He's not getting the ball to Calvin Johnson.
Right.
They're going to find other ways to fill that gap. Same with a defensive end. So, which there are many options. That's the thing. The defensive line, a lot of options in this draft.
That's good and bad, though, because you have a better chance of whiffing.
Yeah, a lot of mistakes to be made.
Yeah.
So, but thankfully, there are 32 teams to make those mistakes.
That's true. Share the wealth, Lions.
Well, guys, thanks again. East Lansing and the Mid-Michigan area, I appreciate you tuning in to me for the last 5 days. I'm Larry Marasco. Thanks again. This is Sports Talk 870 WKAR. Coming up, Talk of the Nation right here at 2 p.m. on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.